good to be back. Very good to be back. Actually, things have changed in America since when I was younger. One thing is, driving in Brooklyn is a totally different experience. It used to be very aggressive driving. But now, whenever there's a green light, you know, when I was younger, we were waiting for that green. You always have to honk the guy in front of you because he's on his phone during the green lights. Come out every time I'm ready for the green before the guy in front of me. And I noticed another thing that on the way to Landau's, I was going down Coney Island Avenue, and this guy was going 20 miles an hour. So I figured he's probably, you know, an 85-year-old man or woman. I actually know an 85-year-old man who got a ticket for driving too slow. He didn't think that could happen. I know somebody who did. And I was like, what's going on over here? So I tried to pass him. And then as soon as he saw me trying to pass him, he started zipping forward. I'm like, what's going on? And we were doing this for a while. And I noticed he was just screaming at whoever was on the phone so loud that he couldn't drive fast while he was screaming. So then when he saw I wanted to win him over, he quickly went faster. I mean, this is the metzius, the chaos that's going on over there. And there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of chaos. And all of the technology itself has a lot to do with what we're going to be talking about right now, which is inyanim of ben adam l'chaveiroi, working on ourselves in the inyanim of sfiras ha'omer. This is the zman between the yontif of Pesach and the yontif of Shavuos. It's a time to prepare ourselves. In fact, there are really five prakim in Pirkei Avos. Five. And yet we have six. So the sixth is a brisa. It's not written by Rabbeinu HaKadosh. But why is it there? The Mefarshim explains you'll have more to learn during Sfiras HaOmer. That's the reason we have a sixth perek over there, so that you can have 6 weeks filled with new material. new material, in order to work on ourselves to be Roy, to be Mekabel the Torah. And it's not just that you have to be a mensch to get the Torah, but if you're not a mensch, you can't get the Torah. And this is the frightening Gemara. The frightening Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Samach Beis that we can't understand. 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. 24,000, 12,000 Zugim, Chavrusa seemingly, may give us that antipras, vikulam mesu beperek echad. All of them from a terrible disease called Askara. Imagine, just to understand this Gemara, just imagine, I'm afraid to do this, but I want to understand what's happening. Imagine going somewhere and seeing the greatest yeshiva, 24,000 people there, all lying on the floor. Rachmana litzlan, kidoshe elyon malachi ashares. So what was the big problem? What was the big tviya on them? Mipnei shelo nagu kavod ze lezeh. They didn't give each other kavod. Now I want you to know, the way we tend to look at these chazals is with our tiny eyes. So we're thinking they called each other jerks, stupid, bonehead, you know, all sorts of interesting names, right? It doesn't say that in the Gemara. It doesn't say mipnei shezil zelu ze bezeh, that they put each other down. It says they didn't give each other the proper amount of kavod. Imagine you have a chavrusa that's like Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. Oh, well, I'm like Rav Aaron Cutler. Yeah, but your chavrusa is like Rav Moshe Feinstein. Yeah, but I'm like Rav Aaron Cutler. So it's not just, of course, I realize he's a Talmud Chacham, but so am I, and they didn't give each other the proper respect that was due to them. They weren't mezalzel in each other. They just didn't give the level of respect that was required of such a great base medrash. And I have an amazing proof for this. This is worth millions of dollars. It's a very subtle proof that the issue over here is a subtle one. In Mesilas Yesharim, in the beginning of the Sefer, in Nikias, he talks about working on bad midos, working on gaiva, and working on issues of kinah, jealousy, and tivus, and all of these things, working on anger and working on insulting people, etc., etc. Right? There, he doesn't mention Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. Okay, so maybe he just didn't want to mention it at all. No, but if you go very far in the Sefer, all the way to La Nova, which is, by the way, a place where you're almost about to be reviving the dead. If you make it to that point in Mesillas Yesharim, and you're working on Anava, you're basically trying to be a Moshe Rabbeinu in our generation. You could look there. Most people never even get to that part of the Mesillas Yesharim. All of a sudden, when he talks about Anava, he says, I know I dealt with small things earlier in the Sefer, but here I'm talking about real high-level Anava. And wouldn't you know it that he quotes the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim over there at the end of the Mesillas Yesharim? Because these Talmidim were on such a high level that there was a higher expectation for them. They were people who were Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And I had a Chiddush in America, which I love Chiddushim in America, because usually in America I need some Chiddushim to keep me going. And this was, and it was at a hotel room, that's even better. I was in a hotel room and I had this Chiddush. I had about five or six Chiddushim in America this Ben Ezmanim. It wasn't enough to keep me afloat, but it was enough, you know, to survival mode. But listen to this. I was thinking the following. Why is it Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, there was such a high expectation of them? A high expectation. Because of their Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva has an unusual shita in kavod. There's a halacha in the Torah called Boishes, paying for someone's kavod. When you insult somebody, right? There's a din of kavod, of busha, that you have to pay for. And the Mishnah in Achovel, on Daf Tzadi, says, if you spit at someone, you slap someone, you take off a woman's shetel, Rachmana Litzlan, all of these things, they cost a lot of money. But if you're someone very spitz, a wealthy person, v'chule, and very distinguished, then it's a hefty sum of money. If you're a nobody, it's a much cheaper ordeal. You shouldn't have done it, but it's not as insulting. Because when you're such a chashev person and someone takes off your shetel, it's that much more mortifying. But if you're someone who's on the street, unkempt, and mumbling to yourself funny things and all this, and you lose your shetel, it's bad. You have to pay for it, but it doesn't cost the same amount of money. Comes Rabbi Akiva after the Mishnah says Hakol Lefi Chvodai. It all depends how important you are, how much you're going to pay. Amar Rabbi Akiva Afilu Aniim Shebi Yisrael. Even the most downtrodden in Klal Yisrael, who really don't have that respect because they're always stuck in their situation that keeps them so low in society, Rachmana Litzlan, even though they're special people, but they're not people who are expecting so much excitement about them coming into a room. Afilu aniim shem Yisrael, royen oisom ki'ilu heim b'nei chayrin sheyardu b'nei chaseyim. We view them as people who were wealthy at one point, but the stock market crashed on them. That they were wealthy, but and they tasted it, and they knew it, but now technically they lost their money. Shehem b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Because they are the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rabbi Akiva is somebody who saw all of Klal Yisrael as covered. He didn't look at the chitzonius of what you look like today. He looked at the neshama. And this is what he was teaching his Talmidim. And not only that, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva in another place was discussing paying back someone and taking the shirt off your back. Well, it depends how expensive the shirts are. Can you get a replacement? What if you're wearing an Armani suit? Well, if you're somebody who needs an Armani suit, so you keep it. But if you're someone who doesn't need an Armani suit, you should just get some 7-Eleven shirt or whatever, you know, or a Sunoco shirt, whatever you want, but not this. Sunoco's a gas station. He's from Eretz Yisrael. A Sunoco shirt, right? Says Rabbi Akiva, Kol Yisrael Re'uyin La'oisai Itztala. Everyone's right for an Armani suit. Why? Kulam B'nei Malachim. We're all sons of kings. And when I saw these two chazals together, I thought to myself what it would be to be in the base medrash of Rabbi Akiva. It was all about bringing everyone up. And you know what? When your Rebbe is preaching this, when your Rebbe's the one, as Rav Simcha Zissel Broidy Zatzal said, Rabbi Akiva was the one who was known. Zeh klal gadol b'torah v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. when this is the ring in your ears and you don't get it, and you don't bring that into your learning, and you don't bring that into your chavrusa, then the hope of you being Bali Masaira for Rabbi Akiva's Torah is it's an impossibility. Rachmana Litzlan. But they were on a high madrega. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. They were on a high madrega. We have to work on much more basic things, and that's what I would like to talk about today. We don't just have an issue with not giving kavod. Oh, my dear chavrusa, would you like a drink of water? I'm sorry I didn't ask you before, right? Or standing up for our chavrusas when they come. That's not our issues. We have some very big problems in the areas of Ben Adam Chavero. There are words like bashing, one-liners, right? Ooh, sticking it to the guy. And I've seen with my own eyes how scary it could be. How scary it could be. Sarcasm. Things that we're so used to. How destructive they are to friends, to marriages, to children. People who are sarcastic with their wives and children destroy their homes. Even though that's just the way we're supposed to do things. Right? That's just the way it goes. That's the way we talk today. People who bash each other, who send each other one-liners. Rachmana Litzlan. So you'd think that it's just a word. It's just a word. You get over it. Chazal tell us something amazing about Hashem. The first lesson that we learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first lesson of all of my Sebracious. You know what it is? This is my understanding of the first lesson. The first lesson that we get from Hashem is that Hashem speaks and creates. Right? Hashem says, let there be light. And there is light. Hashem creates worlds with words. That's the first lesson of Maisa Bracious, is that if you want to understand what speech is, speech creates. That's what it does. And the very first lesson of Maisa Bracious is that words are tangible. Words are real. Words create, and words, Rachmana Litzlan, can destroy. The entire world was created through words. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu defines man, right, as a nefesh chaya, the Targum Onkelos calls him a ruach mamala. Man is the power of speech. That is the defining point in what a human being is. It's a definitional point in who we are, is a ruach mamala. So you look at friends, and I once saw this with my own eyes. I was with a group of people for a considerable amount of time, and they seemed to be boys, you know, they loved each other, but they kept insulting each other over and over. I couldn't take it, wherever I was with them, and they were so good at it. And I couldn't help myself. I called one of them over, and I said, do you guys like each other? Because I can't handle this anymore. I'm going crazy from being around you guys. He said something that sounds like a deep philosophical point. He goes, we love each other, but we hate each other. Wow. That sounds like a Zohar. What does that mean? But it's so true. It might not be a Zohar, maybe it is, but it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Yuma on Daf Tes. An amazing Gemara. Listen to this Gemara well. And the Gemara describes the problems that go on with basic relationships. Says the Gemara in Yuma Daf Tes Amud Beis, Megure el cherev hayu es ami lafkein spike al yarech. Megure el cherev hayu al es ami. The people who are together have swords, and that's why I throw my hands up in anguish. Amar Rav Elazar. People who eat and drink together and stab each other with daggers with their words. What is going on? The Gemara is describing what sinas chinam is. A very strange definition, right? You sit at a meal, okay, right? And you're oichlin v'shoysin biyachad, and you're stabbing each other with the daggers of your words. What's going on over here? I mean, why do we have to have a suda? We have to advance a suda here. You have to sit and have a suda. Chazal are telling us something incredible. Who do you sit with at the lunch table, right? Who do you go with on off Shabbos with, right? Who do you spend time with? Your boys, right? G'doyla legima shemekareves. The Gemara in Sanhedrin said food is what connects people, right? People always gravitate towards the people that they're close with. They're oichlin v'shoysin biyachad. They like each other. But what's the problem? They act like they hate each other. At the same time, they're able to throw out lines which are totally not in sync with the yedidus of the achila and shtia. That's what it means, sinas chinah. It's mamish people that there's nothing here to hate b'chal. Fakert, you picked him as a roommate. No one can stand being in your room at night based on the way you two talk to each other, and you picked him and he picked you. It's an incredible thing. It's a certain resolve that this is the way we live with each other. We destroy each other. We bring each other down. You know, an ufruf is a calling up to the Torah, right? In the olden days in Europe, they used to, I mean, hopefully still now, but we'll talk about that in a second. They would extol the greatness of the chassan, go on and on and on, right? By the time you were done, you'd think he was mamish melech ha-mashiach, right? The chassan's this, the chassan's that, right? And the new shvigar is bullying, what a metziah she got. It's unbelievable, right? Anyway, this was going on in the Mir Yeshiva, and the boys didn't feel it was emistic. And they wanted to be mevatel the minach. They wanted to be mevatel this minhag. I mean, come on, B'nai Torah speak the way it is, and this is getting out of hand. This is ridiculous. I mean, he's a nice guy and everything, right? Right? He could read a Tosfos, but let's not, like, you know, he's not the next Marsha, right? So they wanted to be mevatel the minhag. Rav Chatzkel Levenstein Zatzal stopped them in their tracks, and he said, Chas v'sholom! This is the minhag Yisrael, because this is the way we build homes. This is the way you start off a home. Is you make the person into the greatest person, so he becomes that greatest person. That's what we do. And recently I was at an Ufruf, and it was a different experience. It was a very different experience. It was something called a roast, okay? Basically, I sat through an entire Shabbos of hearing every terrible thing that I could have ever imagined about this chassan. I thought the chassan was a serial killer by the end. I was afraid. I was holding on to my, you know, my nechassim. I was worried he's gonna, you know, go into my pockets and take my stuff. And it was literally sickening. And not only that, what they would do was a double roast. Watch this. They would then roast the speaker before them, in addition to the chassan. They go, as we see that the first speaker didn't quote Gemaras where they were, but quoted them from later sources, I will quote Gemaras. Right? Of course, you know, I better stop now. They're going to figure out which Ufruf it was. Okay. But what's the Metzius over here? So I found out. How did I find out? I found out, I'll tell you how I found out, but I found out that this is what they do at bachelor parties. I found this out. How do I know? Because I was once somewhere else recently where two secular people were there. One was speaking and insulting the other one. He goes, what is this, my bachelor party? And then I go, aha! Apparently, this is what you do at a bachelor party, right? You're selling the guy to a life of misery with his new wife among the goyim. So you might as well just, like, tell him he's a shmata, he's a nothing, and now you're married, you're not free, right? That's the metzias, right? But this is the situation people enjoy. They thrive on this destruction. They thrive on it. Hashem Yirachim. And I want you to know, I don't think, and I've spoken to a lot of people, that people really want to do this. There's something fascinating in a Tosfos in Ksubas. An amazing Tosfos with an amazing Taich. The Gemara says that the Heilige Rachel, right, she found Rabbi Akiva, she saw in him greatness, right? She saw that he was tzni v'maili, he was refined, he had midas toivas, and there was a lot of material here to work with. Kalba Savua, Her father didn't see that this had potential, right? And we know the story. He disowns his daughter and Rabbi Akiva, then later tried to fix everything up. But what did she see in him? That he was a Baal Midas. Frecht Rabbeinu Tam, a very basic question over here. A very basic question. He says that the Gemara in Psachim says that Rabbi Akiva was not such a Baal Midas in his early life, before he came to the Beis Medrash. The Gemara in Psachim says, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Kishayisi Amo Oretz Hayisi Omer Miyitin Li Talmud Chacham Ven Ashkenu Kichamor. If I could get my hands on a Talmud Chacham, I'd bite him like a donkey. Whoa. You know, if somebody said that to me on a Shidduch date, I would go to the next one, right? What was Rachel thinking? Right? Mashma Delo Havi Miley. It seems like he didn't have good midas. This is Tosfos' Kasha. I'm not making this up. So he gives a very strange answer. Ikala Meimar, you could say, Dahasam Lav Mishum Shayisone Talmidei Chacham. You didn't hate Talmidei Chachamim. Ela Mishum Shayisavar Shemizgoyin Alame Ya'aretz Mipnei Torasan. He thought that the Talmidei Chachamim were elitists, with their nose in the air, thinking that they're better than everyone else. Vayu Talmidei Chachamim Sonin Osam. And he thought that the Talmidei Chachamim hate the Amoratzim, right? And they also said that we're makabel tuma, right? There's a din that if prushim touch amaratzim, so they become tame. It was terrible bizyonis. So all amaratzim were in the back of the bus. That's what it was. That's how they felt. Rabbi Akiva was the first, like, you know, on college campuses saying, you know, fighting for equal rights. For equal rights. But what's going on over here? What exactly is going on? The Sam Derech is bothered. Tosfos didn't answer his question. Tosfos did not answer his question. Because that's still terrible midas. It's still terrible midas. So I heard from a yidid of mine, a Talmud Chacham, a Chashev Talmud Chacham, that no, when you feel you're being attacked, when you feel you're being attacked, you can't act good. Because you always have to keep your dukes up because you're worried that you're going to be attacked. Rabbi Akiva felt he was on the defensive. And when someone feels they're on the defensive, then they can't be themselves. They can't be themselves. And everybody is on guard. Everyone at a table is on guard. And it's a terrible, terrible situation. This is not the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants things. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants things is the way Rabbeinu Yoina says in Mishle Yud Dalet Tes. Evilim Yolitz Osham Uvein Yisharim Ratzain. Perish HaEvil Yolitz Chova Ki Yichapis Mumei B'nei Adam Vashmasam. An Evil looks for problems in people. Flaws. V'yitim B'yem Dofi. Places to knock them, to call them out. V'lo yidaber lo oilam bishvach v'davar toiv. He never has a nice thing to say. Never. Ubein yisharim rotzen. Straight people have rotzen. Ki derech yisharim lechasos al kol pshayim. The way of righteous, of straight people, is to cover up bad things that happen to people. I once read a beautiful story about Rav Meir Chadash, the Mashkiach, the great Mashkiach. When he would see a bacher doing something that's not appropriate, perhaps on the street when he was walking by, he would quickly turn his face so that he shouldn't see the bacher. That's not the job of a Mashkiach, right? You're just, right? Fire! Attack! Attack! That's not the way. That's not the way a yid who's a yasher is. He's covering up for people. He's covering up. He's mechasa pshayim. One of the greatest stories that I've ever heard. I wasn't even planning on telling a story, but Rav Don Segel says that when you have a story and it comes to your head, you should say it. One of the greatest stories I've heard from someone who I'm zocha to have stay in my home when he comes to the yeshiva, to Eretz Yisrael. The great Rav Avram Gervitz, the Gateshead Rosh Yeshiva. This story was said over by one of the Bachrim at a Sudas Preda. He said the following story. He said, when he came to yeshiva, you know, it was a very hard adjustment, and he wasn't doing well, and he was joking around a lot, v'chulei, and him and his friend got into this game where they were chasing each other around the yeshiva, chasing each other, fine, they're going through the yeshiva, up and down. Quickly, he goes into the Eitzer HaSfarim and locks the door. He locks the door. Okay, fine, he's safe. There's a knock. Who is it? It's Avram Gervitz. I'm not falling for that, Yankee. The old Avram Gervitz trick. It's Avram Gervitz. I need a safer for my shear. Can you imagine? Most amazing thing. Remember this for the rest of your lives. The Bachar shamefully opens the door to the Eitzer Svarim, and he sees Rav Avram Gervitz like this, walking into the Eitzer like this. And he said it as soon as Preda. He said, I want you to know, the only reason I've stayed in the yeshiva, is, he said this in front of the yeshiva, is because of this Maisa, what the Rosh Yeshiva did for me. When you want to see who a person is, the way you do it is you cover up for them. You don't expose them. You don't expose them. You cover up for them. You cover up for them. But it's all about calling people out. We think we're so smart when we call people out. And there's actually a Mishnah about this. Calling people out. Calling people out. The Mishnah says, in Nun Ches Amid Beis, in Baba Metzia, Perek Hazav, Kishem she'oina b'mekach u'memchar, kach oina b'dvarim. Just like there's an Isser, overcharging and causing someone anguish, overcharging them a sixth and more for whatever they're selling, and causing them that pain, also painting people with words. There is an Isser of onas dvarim. Lo yomer lo bekama chifet zevu ina rot zelikach. You can't walk into a store and just start asking about pricing and get the guy so excited you're going to buy it, and then you're just, you know, window shopping, and he feels terrible afterwards. He thought he had a big sale, right? You walk into a car dealership, right? And you ask all these questions about the most expensive model, and this guy thinks this is going to be his biggest sale, and you're like, bye, just checking. Right? Then, what else? Im haya bal tshuva lo yomer lo zachor ma'asecha rishonim. I remember you. You're a bal tshuva, right? But I remember your breakfast at Mickey D's, egg McMuffin with a ham on rye. I remember that. I just don't think I forgot that. You call him out. Then, a ben gerim. He's a ger. Lo yomer lo zachor ma'ase avosecha. I remember all those Buddha dolls in grandpa's house. All those chubby guys. Right? What'd you do with those guys? You can't do that. Shenemar, v'ger lo sonav lo sechosenu. Frek the Maral, and this is $1 billion maramachim. $1 billion maramachim. The Maral says he doesn't understand the order in this Mishnah. He says the order in the Mishnah is it's out of order. The Mishnah starts with a case of a guy going into a store and just checking out prices, right? And then the Mishnah says, and you can't insult a Baal Tshuva like that. Like, right? Imagine someone saying that to him, or insult a Ger like that. The Maral says, we always start with the least Chiddush, and then we come to bigger Chiddushim, right? The worst things you can do for sure is tell a Baal Tshuva about his Big Mac and fries, right? Or a Ger about his early days. Why does the Mishnah start with such a seemingly whatever case of going into a store and just asking prices? If you know you're not allowed to ask prices for things, don't you know you're not allowed to remind someone about a Big Mac and a Buddha? Isn't it obvious? Why did the Mishnah say this subtle case, going into a store and discussing prices, and then it says, and you not only that, but you can't malign and this and that. That's the Maral's kasha. You know what the Maral says? He says something absolutely incredible. He says, no. He says, the whole yesod of onas dvarim is how you value people. How you value people. And he says that a Baal Tshuva, when you remind him of what he did wrong, it's more hurtful than reminding a ger. You know why? Because he shouldn't really have been buying that Big Mac and fries, and it's something that really, you know, he could have maybe thought about earlier, become a Baal Tshuva quicker, and you're hitting him in a very sensitive point. It's very painful. A ger, it is painful, but at least you're hitting him with something that really wasn't something that was expected of him. He wasn't expected to become a yid. So the Maharal says it goes in that order. And the meaner thing is to call someone who's a Baal Tshuva, somebody you remember as earlier Meisim. And then it goes into a more subtle case. Why is the meanest thing you could do check the prices? According to the list, the meanest thing you could do, the most obvious thing, is checking the prices. Says the Maharal, there's something much worse than anything, and that's treating people like a joke. There's joking about people, about their past, but at least you legitimize that they exist. And then there's practical jokes, making someone a fool. Says when you go into a store and you take up somebody's time, you actually turn him into a joke. It's the most painful experience when someone is turned into a joke. He feels like a total zero. A practical joke like that. I remember when we were younger, now you can't do this, but in the olden days, we used to do prank calls. I'm embarrassed, but this is what little children in the olden days used to do. They used to call a delicatessen and have like a Hasidisha accent and pretend they're making a big bris, and they ask they want a whole cow, and then suddenly my mom says, Dove, are you behaving yourself? Yeah, mom. Hang up the phone, right? Nowadays with caller IDs, I mean, you can't have as much fun, guys, as we did, right? There's a video camera in your room and you don't even know about it, right? Everything is recorded. But there's nothing more terrible than doing that, turning somebody into a joke, Rachmana Litzlan. And I was bothered by the Lashon over here. Why does it say kishem? Kishem that there's an Isser of Onas Mammon, just like there's an Isser of Onas Mammon, so too there's an Isser of Onas Dvarim. The two have nothing to do with each other. One is taking someone's money, right, that you're not entitled to, and the other one is making someone a laughing stock. If I was being Masada the Mishnah, you'll excuse me, I would have just said, Stam, I would put this in Pirkei Avos. What's the... Just like there's an Isser of taking more than a sixth for a car or whatever, so too you're not allowed to insult your friends with words. I think Chazal are teaching us something amazing. This bothered me for many years. Chazal are saying the following. They're giving us an image of what it is. When somebody buys something, this is what it costs. And if you overcharge them, you're taking something from them that's not yours. You're causing them pain by taking something that's not yours. People demand respect from you. They demand respect from you. And when a person is pogeying someone, he's taking part of that person's dignity. He's sapping him from something that's his. It's his! It's his right! It's who he is! And this is the side of what's going on today, is a bittul, is a total destruction of people that we care about. And it just takes a moment of reflection to realize that it takes a much bigger person to cover up for people and not to call them out. I want to explain something, and this will end. The Gemara says on Nun Tes that the worst is Onas Ishtai. The worst onah is onas ishto, right? It's dangerous to get your wife angry, cause her pain. It doesn't say onah of a woman. If you think it's because women are sensitive, it doesn't say that. It says onah of your wife. That means if you do this to your kid's sister, I'm not telling you to do it. But it's not onas ishto. It's not the pshat that women are sensitive, which they are very sensitive. It's not the pshat. You know what the pshat is? The stipler and the Chazon Ish say, as the yisoid of a marriage, that a woman has her eyes on her husband and everything he thinks about her is her oxygen. So much so, the Stipler says that his view of her is like bikuach nefesh. Everything, especially in the beginning of marriage. You know that thing, she loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. That's how a kala is in the first year of marriage. My husband loves me, he hates me. He loves me, he hates me. You guys will see, it's crazy. Right, you woke up, one night you come home, your wife says, I know you love me. And then you're like, you hate me, right? Don't worry, it happens to everybody. It happens to all of us, we've all been through it. Because her eyes are totally on this person. A person who doesn't work as a bacher on sarcasm, on one-liners, on bashing, becomes a miserable person for Shalom Bayis. He brings his house down to the Rachmana Litzlan, to Shol Tachtis. We have to understand the value of the intelligence of building with words. It's very easy to destroy with words. That Rabbeinu Yonah that says to cover up for people, he brings a very strange end to what he says over here, that Yisharim are mechasip pshayim. V'zichru b'musar, ki adam echad v'chacham avru al nevela. A wise man went and saw a carcass on the floor. Amar adam kama musrachas nevela zu. Ugh, it's gross, it's disgusting. A carcass on the floor. Dead animal. Amar ha-chacham kama leveno shinel. The chacham says, how white are its teeth? This is very weird. I mean, imagine you're walking with a great chacham, right? And you see a carcass, you're holding your nose, but, and he says, wow, look at those teeth, right? I wouldn't think that's such a chacham. I wouldn't, you'll excuse me, I'm reading a Rabbeinu Yonah, but I want to try to teach you, you have to think about chazals. I mean, this is a difficult chazal. It's a difficult chazal. When was the last time you cared about teeth? When you're in the zoo and the monkey looks at you and gives you a smile, like, I had nice teeth. Like, the pshat is that anyone who's a chacham can find something to gain in everything. In everything. There's always some beauty. There's always something. But it takes a chacham to figure that out. All the fools who insult people are not showing their intelligence. Because they're not building, they're destroying. Anyone can take out a sledgehammer. We have to realize that this Zman of Sfiras HaOmer is toiveya from us. That we have to learn how to raise our friends up. And it could be a Kabbalah that we could have. A person could be makabal on himself to compliment, highlight something that's real and true about a friend twice a day. Something real. You gave a good chabura. Don't just say that. You gave a good chabura, David, for three reasons. I'll tell you what they are. Number one, good entry joke. Number two, you really were poised up there. And number three, I liked your pshat on the Rashbam. That builds somebody. Specific. Don't be afraid. That makes a chacham. We should all be zeicha in this time to be b'nei olamos.